From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in San Ramon.
Larkspur in Marin County.
Simpson Beach.
I live in Noe Valley in Novato.
I live in San Anselmo right next to Fairfax.
Coming up, we'll get to know the misunderstood pit bull.
The way we treat dogs has a huge impact on their behavior. Neglecting, abusing, or bullying them in any way is a recipe for disaster.
Then we'll head to the beach to solve a mystery.
We're looking at a giant graveyard of Valella Valella. Kind of looks almost like plastic pollution.
And we'll hear the story behind this unusual sound. Curious creatures, today on Cross Currents. We're going to start today's show with a story about a controversial animal, the pit bull. Did you know that they're the most bred dog in America? They're the most common in shelters, and they're the most euthanized as well. Of course, you're probably aware that they're the dog most often mentioned in the media.
Developing news in San Francisco, where a police officer shot and killed a family's pit bull dog. It happened just after 6 on Oakdale Avenue in the Bayview neighborhood.
Two SFPD officers responded to the house after getting a 911 call. Turned out there was no emergency. It was a child who was playing with the phone.
6 shots for a dog.
San Francisco police, however, say the officer was bitten several times.
She was our pet. We've had her for over 10 years, so it's really heartbreaking.
And just this past Tuesday, a federal officer shot and wounded an 11-year-old pit bull near the San Francisco Mint building. The dog had been chasing a number of people on the street. Perhaps because of stories like these, there are organizations whose sole mission is to make the breed extinct. And in some areas of the United States, legislation is trying to do the same thing. But is the pit bull really as dangerous as they say? Louise Codd reports.
If you search YouTube, you can easily find scenes like this. Dogs fighting. There are almost 500,000 entries with the search term pit bull fights. They happen all the time, everywhere. December 19, 2013, police officers go to a home on Eldridge Avenue in East Oakland. They're serving a search warrant, but they find something more than they are looking for. They find 11 dogs chained up. It's a dogfighting operation. The police shut it down and place the dogs with Oakland Animal Services. One of the rescued pit bull's names is Tanner. From far away, Tanner looks like a healthy and athletic dog. It's only as you get closer to his sand-colored coat that you can see some thin-lined scars on the side of his chest. Tanner has recently been adopted by Travis Greenlee.
Tanner is a great dog. He's very calm. He's a little shy. And he absolutely loves to run. That's Tanner. He's either being a perfect angel inside or he's just running like the wind outside.
Knowing that Tanner has been used in dogfighting and has been rescued from that situation, do you see any signs of that history in his behavior?
Yes, there have been some situations. If he detects in another dog, if he detects aggression, he will respond in kind very quickly.
The pit bull's reputation for being aggressive precedes them.
What's your name?
Cassandra Green.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Do you like pit bulls?
Pit bulls? Oh, I think they're kind of terrifying. I don't like them at all.
Why are people so afraid of pit bulls? PETA spokeswoman Lisa Launch thinks that it has to do with the dog's nature.
Dogs have been bred with a genetic blueprint that makes them more likely to do certain things.
But pit bulls are not a specific breed. The word pit bull is used to describe a group of dogs with certain characteristic looks in common. All were historically bred for two purposes: to control vermin and to fight. Launch says those traits can be passed down, but that's not the only thing that matters.
The way we treat dogs also has a huge impact on their behavior. Neglecting, abusing, or bullying them in any way is a recipe for disaster, especially when the dog naturally has fearful and/or protective instincts.
When 27-year-old Keith Leswing was living in shared housing in San Francisco, he was attacked by his roommate's pit bull, Tank. The dog had never shown any aggressive behavior before he suddenly went for the bite.
One time, people were hanging out on the stoop, and Tank was there, and he kind of stood up and nipped my arm. And he bit me hard enough to definitely break the sweatshirt I was wearing and two little puncture wounds.
Leswing stayed in the house.
I think pit bulls in the city, they bring up issues, but I think they do bring a lot of happiness to a lot of people. I don't have a problem with pit bulls in urban areas.
But the story of the attack is the kind that the media jumps on regularly.
Also new at 6, pit bulls attack. Tonight, a 22-year-old college student is in the hospital with serious injuries after he was attacked viciously last night by 3 pit bulls in New Bedford.
Over time, if you hear a particular story over and over and over, it becomes what we call a trend story.
Linnea Edmeyer is director of external affairs at the UC Berkeley Journalism School.
It's talking about a particular trend in automotives, a particular trend in the housing market, a particular trend in gasoline prices. Unfortunately, the dogs have become it's become a particular trend in a dog story.
It's become such a trend that the ASPCA, the American Society for Protection and Cruelty Against Animals, it's reported something disturbing. That the media specifically told them that they have no interest in reporting on dog attacks that don't involve pit bull type dogs. And anti-pit bull groups used the media to build their case against the dogs.
A 63-year-old woman was mauled to death by pit bulls in Southern California today.
Dogsbite.org is a group that tracks what it calls dangerous dog breeds. They counted news articles and found that pit bulls killed 27 Americans in 2014. That's nearly two-thirds of all reported dog-related deaths. That kind of stat has led to legal action in some cities. Pit bull breeds were banned in Denver, Colorado in 1989. But it's not working. Dogs continue to bite more people in Denver than almost anywhere else in the state. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say breed bans are not effective, and they don't address the biggest problem, unfixed dogs. Rebecca Katz is Oakland's director of animal services. She used to hold that position in San Francisco, where she drafted the city's current legislation requiring pit bulls to be spayed or neutered.
Most of the cases involving any kind of serious maulings or injury are intact animals of any sort.
Okay, so now we're going to go into the available dogs, the first room, and we'll check out some.
Ooh, here we have some.
Kate Wolfson is president of California Pit Bull Rescue. She's walking with me through Oakland Animal Services dog shelter, home of 220 dogs.
It's sad. It's like looking at somebody in jail. Just imagine yourself in there.
And for the pit bulls that come here and to other shelters, how do their story usually continue from here on?
It pretty much ends at the shelter. Most pit bulls do not make it out of a shelter alive.
Around the country, only 1 in 600 pit bulls gets out of animal shelters alive. One that got lucky is Tanner. That's the pit bull who was rescued from the dog fight operation in Oakland. Travis Greenlee fostered Tanner for 3 months and ultimately decided to adopt him. He spent a lot of time rehabilitating the former fighter.
I think really it's just a situation of Tanner learning that that's not what the humans that have him now want him to do. So I think there is that instinct is there, you know, that desire, or not desire, but the training, you know, to react in a situation that I've seen. But it's very easy to defuse, and he's happy to know that that's not what he has to do.
He's safe. In Oakland, I'm Louise Codd for Cross Currents.
Dogs run free, why not we? Across the swooping plain. My ears hear a symphony of two mules, trains, and rain. The best is always yet to come. That's what they explain to me. Just do your thing, you'll be king. If dogs run free.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. Today, we're meeting animals we coexist with but don't know much about, from misunderstood dog breeds to unrecognizable creatures of the sea. Up and down the California coast, there are these little blue creatures that have been washing up on shore. They're about 2.5 inches across, blue, and kind of shaped like Pringles. They're called Velella Velella, and they're getting beached by the millions. Why is this happening? KALW reporter Jessica Plotchik set out to find the answer.
There's a bunch of it down there. Look at that.
The Velella Graveyard.
I'm at a beach in Point Reyes with marine biologist Joe Mueller. And everywhere we look are little potato chips. Well, at least that's what they look like. But when you pick them up and smell them, you know they're biological and dead. They're dried up jellies.
And I bet you anything, if you turn this over, you would be able to maybe even see the moisture of life there.
This beach looks like dozens of other beaches in California right now, covered with dead jellies called Velella Velella. Biologists say millions of them have washed up across the coast this year. Velella Velella are also commonly called the by-the-wind sailor. In the ocean, they move along the surface using the clear triangular ridge or sail on their backs. They're at the wind's mercy. So when they beach, it's because of the wind and the climate conditions that create it. To understand their journey, we first need to understand how these little jellyfish work.
They're not true jellyfish. They're actually a colony of creatures we call hydroids.
Oh, okay, not jellyfish. But what exactly is a hydroid colony?
If we were to look at one, we'd see that it's a colony of a mix of sea anemone-like creatures.
You've seen sea anemones, right? They're those colorful tubular creatures with rings of tentacles at the top. Well, Velella colonies are like hundreds of sea anemones all floating together. Each one helps operate the blue Velella ship. It looks like a sail with bunches of tentacles hanging down.
So on the edge, all they do is sting. That's your job. What do you do in life? I'm a stinger. I just got stingers all over me, right? And then they have other individuals that are in there that are for feeding. And then there are the reproductive parts, and those parts on this little colony's job is to bud or asexually break off little kind of pieces of the colony.
These little bell-shaped buds are called medusa, and they have male and female parts.
Somehow those parts find each other in the big wide ocean, and they get together and make this little larvae floats up to the surface and grows into this colony.
For people, this would be like if your genitals fell off, went and found other genitals, had sex, and made a baby without you. That's how Velella Velella reproduce. And in the meantime, what do they eat? Plankton and fish eggs. However,
they haven't developed an anus yet. Food goes in and comes out the same place. It's a cul-de-sac, not a one-way street.
Velella Velella also have special algae living on them that feed off the waste from that cul-de-sac and turn sunlight into sugars that feed the Velella. So even if there's no food around in that big open ocean, they can still survive for a while.
Imagine if we had this. We could go out in the sun, sunbathe, and we'd be able to get lunch.
The Velella doesn't normally want to be close to the shore.
And the best thing for it is to be able to stay out in the ocean. It likes to live beyond the continental shelf.
Velella Velella only end up on the beach when warm waters push them there.
This is my favorite thing about Velella Velella, and that is that, we actually have to back up a little bit, so we have to talk a little bit about currents.
So in the northern hemisphere, currents go in a clockwise progression. This is called the Pacific Gyre. The Velella ride this using their sails to tack in the wind.
If you look at them from above, most sails are angled like a backslash on the oval bodies. Mueller thinks this is so they can tack in a clockwise current forever, floating in big clockwise circles in the ocean. In the southern hemisphere, winds go in the opposite direction, counterclockwise. So he says Velella sails flip below the equator. The backslash becomes a forward slash. And Mueller says this is where the trouble can start. Sometimes these southern winds come up along the coast and disrupt the clockwise current.
Their sails designed for the Pacific jar. So southern's opposite of that, the sail doesn't work. They go the other way and they go onto land.
Instead of circling back into the ocean, the Velellas head for the beach. It doesn't happen all the time, but it's common, happening about every 3 to 7 years. Mueller says decades ago, his mentor, a marine biologist named Al Molina, noticed that Velella Velella beachings followed a certain pattern.
He noticed over the many years, probably for him maybe 40, 45 years, that he was observing these, that when they came ashore, it was a sign of drought, and when they didn't, it was a sign of a wet year.
Nobody has done any scientific studies to confirm this. Mueller says it's a difficult population to research. You'd need floating research stations to follow Velella around over several years. So for now, we wait for the Velella Velella to come to us. For Cross Currents, I'm Jessica Plotcheck.
Listening to Cross Currents from KALW News, I'm Hanat Baba. And now it's time for Audiograph, the Bay Area's sonic signature. This week, we're revisiting a sound you can hear in meadows, fields, and vacant lots all over San Francisco.
If I want him to go fast, like they are somewhere, and I want him to leave from that era quick, then I would just like make a whistle like... So everybody looking, everybody knows that they need to leave that area. If I want them to come, then I just use simple like, come, 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 come. They know that I need them to come.
Think you know what that was and where we recorded it? Well, we sent KALW's Holly J. McDeed to bring us the story behind the sound.
In the farm animal kingdom social ladder, horses are the majestic ones. Cows are sacred, pigs are fat. And goats eat, and then eat some more. They eat like it's their job. And at City Grazing, a landscaping business that rents out goats, it is.
I'm very familiar with animals. I specialize in goats.
That's Trevorton Rose. He's one of City Grazing's resident goat whisperers. He makes sure the goats devour San Francisco's unwanted weeds with the efficiency of businessmen.
Then I would just like make a whistle like, so everybody looking, everybody knows that they need to leave that area.
When the goats are not out on the job, they hang out in San Francisco's Bayview District, between the railroad tracks and a cement recycling plant. The eco-conscious among us, who don't want to use toxic herbicides to kill weeds, can rent these gentle, hooved creatures.
If I want them to come, then I just use simple like, come, 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 come. They know that I need them to come. If I want them to run, I say, hop, hop, hop.
You might not be able to tell from his Jamaican accent, but goat whisperer Trevorton Rose is a goat.
I'm a goat myself. I'm an Aries. We actually band together. Me and this species of animal real band together.
Rose learned how to talk to goats from his father, a farmer in Jamaica. And his father learned how to talk to goats from his father, who learned how to talk to goats from, you can probably guess... 2 years ago, when Rose went back to Jamaica to visit his family, City Grazing needed a replacement goat whisperer, and fast. So naturally, they posted an ad on Craigslist. Genevieve Church signed up.
I grew up on a cattle ranch, and we had a lot of animals, and I just thought of it as a nostalgic little temp gig. Sure, I can come and take care of these animals. And it turned into, now, a very full-time position.
Instead of relying on specific words or sounds to rally the goats, Church likes to look thoughtfully into their eyes, say their names, and offer them treats. That's because
if you pull up onto Mission Street with a truck full of goats and you've got to get them into a backyard, you don't want those animals basing their next movement off of fear. You want them to trust you.
She introduces me to some of her friends.
This is Spock. Spock and Marvin got named after aliens because they have very pointy ears. Mary Rose is trying to eat your sweater. Goats are opportunists. If they smell anything that smells like it might be unusually tasty, they will eat it.
That's why this business works. Goats eat anything. But there's more to goats than eating. There's the goat's good looks. Mary Rose has droopy ears. Spock has big, pointy horns. Lebowski is a sweet giant. These goats have been rented out for parties, educational programs, and even television commercials.
This is an important moment in our journey to help a project that began.
That was the sound of a goat, a screaming goat from city grazing. Goats making strange sounds like that have become something of an internet phenomenon. The YouTube video These Sounds Come From has more than 5 million views. City grazing's goats don't scream while they're on the job, though, because they're busy being happy little lawnmowers getting the job done. Now, there are a lot of oddball spectacles in San Francisco, but City grazing's herd of goats never fails to surprise onlookers.
Yeah, people want to know, what's going on? What is this? What's going on here?
Sometimes the goats are even used as fire abatement. Especially in a drought, it's really important for all that dry brush to be gone. As far as glorified farm animals, these goats deserve to be right up there with horses. Perhaps us humans could learn from them and find a way to use our occasionally goat-like appetites for good.
Come, 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 hey!
In the Bayview, for Audiograph, I'm Holly J. McDeed.
What local creatures are you curious about? Are there any you think we should investigate? Tell us. Email us at news@kalw.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter @KALW. Because of you, we can proudly say we're listener-supported public radio. Our team includes Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Chris Hoff, Allison Lee, Timothy Lou Lee, Holly J. McDeed, Casey Miner, Ted Muldoon, Rafi Ronquillo, Raja Shah, Lizak Shalit, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by Seth Samuel. The line producer was Hannah Kingsley Ma. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. This music is by a San Francisco band called Panic is Perfect. They play at Bottom of the Hill in San Francisco on Saturday night. Doors open at 8:30. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.
Go in bed with Inferno twisted.